giving. I know that you're not as a society, you're not programmed to enjoy happiness unless one of your queens or whatever is getting married or dedicating a new barge. We are Americans. We have the ability to say, what if we just cook ourselves a good meal, veg out in front of the TV? Now this is the day we have license to do that. Other days we shouldn't do that. And
I'm sure there's a celebration when one of your queens gets married as well.
Yes, but it's mostly on the E Network.
Yeah. Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, we're here to discuss the week in Apple, such as it is, with all the news that there isn't. And joining me, I've got a great panel to sit and discuss nothing at all. Apart from Black Friday. Top left, starting us off, is Patrice. How you doing, bud?
Hey, pretty good.
Place is looking brighter. I'm back. The place is looking brighter. Have you added light, decorated?
It's the same place as always. It hasn't changed anything.
Maybe it's just daylight.
It's just me, I would say.
Yeah. With a cold.
No, I'm not. I don't have a cold. It's just cold outside, and I came straight from the office, so I haven't really had time.
Right, okay, mate. So that scarf's like your cape.
Yep.
There was no phone booth to change in. Next to him, Andy Anatko. Welcome back, sir. Where the hell have you been?
I've been crossing the country, getting the stories of real Americans in this time of political crisis to take the temperature on the pulse of this great republic as we lead our way into yet another national election. It's a little series I call Andy's People.
Andy's People. Is this like a new docudrama?
Well, it's basically a network to buy me a Winnebago.
You in a Winnebago?
I always wanted a Winnebago. No.
Yeah, no. There is something cool. You haven't got the Airflow one, you know, the Silver Bullet type.
Oh, no. That's more money you can put into the AV options. I wanted that ceramic tile floor, you know, because I'm not going to be vacuuming in there. I'll sweep it once a month or so.
So you're only getting hot climates then.
Well, hot climates, for heaven's sake. See, that's why you got that extra 50-gallon fuel tank just to run the electricity and the heaters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gas is at an all-time low over here. It's amazing how quickly, like, we Americans totally forget when gas was like $4.08 a gallon, which was already cheap for the world. But we're all like, oh my God, we have to sell our sports utility vehicles and start getting efficient vehicles. But now it's at like $2.03. We're like, I want to have an SUV towing another SUV just to put the kids in a different container.
Yeah, no, gas is at an all-time low here, and I've only got electricity in this studio to heat it, which is gutting in the extreme. Beneath Andy, it's dark, bright, and early in the morning, and sitting there with the squeezy eye juice to try and freshen the eyes up.
Hey, but fine effort, I don't know about gas being at an all-time low for us because it was Thanksgiving yesterday, so
dude,
gas
is
at an all-time high.
If you could burn lava, you'd be fine, but you're in the middle of nowhere.
wait. That's not necessarily true. Most people don't realize this. Honolulu is the 11th largest metropolis in the United States of America, housing almost 5 million people, 1.476. So we're not as small as one would think.
Have you seen my big fat Greek wedding?
Yes.
You know the father that says, true thing. Greek, invent. That's you with Hawaii. Every time I come out with something that slags Hawaii off, you come out with some fact that's like, that's not true. Hawaii is place where everything started.
Mm-hmm. And there are only two kinds of people in the world. People from Hawaii and people who want to be from Hawaii.
Thank you. Explain it to him again.
Also, may I say that can't be nowhere because he's there right now. That makes it somewhere.
Yeah, okay. That he's in the middle of somewhere.
And Andy is a ukulele aficionado.
Yeah.
Therefore, he knows.
My daughter's just started playing the ukulele at school. They do ukulele lessons. She's coming back and she's got little tiny dots all up the keyboard. Because I can play the guitar, but I've never tried to play the ukulele. But we've got a ukulele now, and it's got these little red dots on it and green dots and stuff. And I can play the chords on them. It's fantastic. I'm learning with her.
Do you still have the George Formby tradition? Is that what people are thinking when they play ukulele?
Well, he played. See, that's the big problem. Banjolet, everyone says, and he's a banjolele. Exactly, that's right. So it's everyone gets that wrong over here. They think it's ukulele, but no, it's the little Hawaiian type guitar type thing, not the George Formby one. And last but by no means least, talking of guitar, the man that does the guitar show for us brilliantly, Lee Peterson, who is a fraction lighter in pocket today, thanks to Black Friday, no?
Yeah. But then, yeah. Amazon had a 35% off Gibson Guitars Day, so that's me, my credit card being maxed out along with the iPad Pro last week.
Oh,
but I've got a pencil there now, which is... it's only taken me a week of stalking the Apple Store employees in Bristol in the UK. Bit sad when they know your name after a few days, isn't it? But at least I got one.
Yeah, they come out with an Apple shirt for you because they think that you've started working there.
It was like I won the lottery. I went in on Friday. I went in because they'd known me after a few days. And I went up and I said, have you got any? He said, yeah, I think we've got one. And then I walked over. And the person who's seen me for the next few days, she's going, is today the day? Is today the day? And I'm going, I hope so. And then he puts a little thing in the system. He goes, yes, we've got one. It's the first one we've had for a week. And the guy comes out with it like it's an Olympic gold medal. And he goes, you're very, very lucky to have this. This is our only one. He gives it to me. And I was like, yeah, yeah. Everyone's like almost like applauding me when I went out. It was really funny. But I just love it. I'm glad I hung in there and waited for it because it's made such a difference to the... I was enjoying the iPad anyway, but it's just made it a different device for me now.
No, I was going to say, we've talked about this last week, but I mean, the pencil really does make the iPad Pro. I mean, it's transformative in the extreme, isn't it? It turns it into something that's really useful. And I've got to think, you know, Apple don't usually do what seems to be fairly stupid stuff. So, I mean, I'm trying to wonder in my own mind why there's this lag on the pencil. Why is it even, you know, after nearly a month now, it's still not picking up in terms of presence out there in the market. And I can't figure it out. I mean, I'm guessing it's a chip issue or a logic board issue or something like that, or a battery issue that they couldn't get supply of batteries.
I think it's ramped up in the UK definitely today because PC World and John Lewis as well have both got stock. So I've been following Mac rumors. There's a thread in there called UK pencil availability, which, you know, gets updated about every 30 seconds. I found one. So I looked in it, and John Lewis, for you guys in the States, if you don't know, is a massive department store here in the UK. They had like 200 keyboards and about 100 pencils yesterday. Wow. And then it shows real-time stock levels on the site, so everyone on Mac rumors were just all cancelling their Apple orders, going over to John Lewis. And then just at one point, there's one guy in the thread saying, hey, guys, maybe you shouldn't cancel your Apple order because John Lewis haven't guaranteed they've got stock. And then you can just see all the other threads going, oh, well, good luck. I've ordered a keyboard from them, so I'll let you know tomorrow after 2 o'clock if I've got one or not. But the pencil's the main thing for me.
Are stocks more prevalent in the U.S.?
Yeah, it's almost impossible to find, so much so that you really are in the position of, you have to use that exact same methodology. Just keep going to Apple stores over and over and over again and keep asking until the employees themselves are willing to themselves fly out to Iowa or wherever they're available, fly back to just to shut you up. Yeah. So yeah, they're scarce as hen's teeth. It's not hard to figure out why. I bet that they've never made anything even remotely like this before. And whereas they've also never made an iPad Pro, but they've made iPads before. They've made laminated stacks of technology before, but they've never made a tiny little tube that's just packed from tip to back with electronics. So it's not surprising that they haven't really figured out what quantity, how to make these and what the quantity is going to be. Yeah. And maybe they haven't figured out quality control because mine's broken. I have to go to the Apple store next week and I'll have to watch them like with their little tools take it apart and service it with all the screws they put in there to make sure that it's easy to swap these things out.
So are you penless at the minute or did you have to anyway?
I'm sorry, or did I?
Are you penless?
I am pencilless right now. Yeah. But for God's sakes, I have to use my 53 Studios pencil right now. My USB one. It communicates by Bluetooth, for God's sake.
That's a real come down, mate. Bad luck.
Like some sort of animal.
No. I go on.
No, I was gonna say like it's funny because being in a touristy destination, when you go in, you can see people coveting the ones that are there for like example use, and it's by the door. So every red-blooded, like even the honest ones, they look at it and they look at the door and they look at the security. And then luckily better judgment comes upon them and they put it back down. But you can literally see the thought process going through people's heads as they're standing in the Apple store, because it's in the Ala Moana store. It is literally a foot and a half away from the front door.
That's a stupid place to put something small.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. But yet, none of them have gone missing yet. But you can just see people thinking about it. And I'm just like, don't do that. It's not
going to end well. I've heard quite some stories that people were thinking about stealing it. I think nobody tried, but people have been thinking about it because they couldn't get one.
Yeah, there's only about 4 or 5 store layouts total for the company. And then so the Ala Moana store, it used to be known as a 40, and it keeps the 40 planogram, but it's much bigger now. It's expanded. It's bought basically the 2 stores on opposite sides of it. From the time I worked there, it was like a broom cupboard, looked much similar to Adam Christensen's podcasting room. And then it's grown to the point now where it's literally about 4 stories wide. I mean, 4 stores wide. And it, so it just kept consuming the stores next to it. And so now it's a full-fledged, 150, but they kept the original planogram for some reason, which is odd. So I would say that's probably one of the odd layouts of any of the stores in comparison to the normal size.
So now the pencil's hit, and we've all had a play with it. I mean, is there anyone that thinks it's a bad idea? Because I'm sure we've all gone and, even if you haven't got the pencil, you've gone and played with it, I would hope. So.
No, it's awesome. I miss it. It's made. I'm sure everybody's going to go in with their rapturous 10 minutes. I like it so much. I have to time myself to make sure I don't speak too much about it. But it's if all I can say is that it really has got me interested in drawing again. Just excited about.
Yeah.
Oh wow, that photo make a good reference for this. I really want to draw this. That's all you got to say for $100 plus $6 for a top quality drawing app. That's everything that I want technology to do. I want it to inspire me to do things that I wouldn't have been inspired to create otherwise.
Yeah, no, I'm the same. I've sat down and just started pencil sketching. We'll have a chat in a second about apps and so on, because I've gone through a lot of the art apps and note-taking apps to see if I can find anything that kind of really hits the sweet spot. But it's the art stuff is great, and I mean the pressure sensitivity on the nib and the tilt it on its side. The only one I found a bit of problem with is Procreate. Because I tend to lean the pencil back quite a bit when I sketch stuff, and I've had a couple of issues where it's not on its side, but it thinks it's on its side in Procreate, but it's not doing that in the Adobe stuff. But it has, it's rejuvenated drawing for me, definitely. Lee, have you started drawing? Have you turned into a little Picasso?
Yeah, I've started sketching again, actually. I've actually ordered a couple of how-to-draw books. Because even just having it yesterday, I was sketching a few kind of... I just do a BB-8 and a few other bits and pieces. And it's such a kind of a stress reliever for me. Just taking your mind off work and, just sitting there doodling. And I used to do it a lot, but it's just kind of brought that back out of me. I've not done it literally for years.
Well, someone suggested... Bob Ross on YouTube.
Yeah,
there's tons of Bob Ross videos on YouTube, okay, isn't there? So
maybe not. Draw whatever you like, but realize that they're not the Bob Ross videos are not teaching you how to express yourself through art. They're teaching you how to do very specific motel room landscapes that are fun to do. Like this, you also shouldn't be ashamed of enjoying doing a paint by numbers, but. I hope that people aren't intimidated by, if I'm going to paint something, I have to paint something that looks like a painting. It's like, no, you can actually just say, you can just make a blotch on the screen, a purple blotch. You say, wow, that's a really cool purple blotch. I wonder what it would look like if I put another yellow blotch on top of it. Make art that objectively stinks, but that you enjoy making. So that'll give you the biggest benefit of pencil in these art apps.
I'm just instant. You've completely got me off on a tangent straight away there by going paint by numbers, because I'm just immediately gone into the app store to try and find out if there's a paint by numbers application. Yep. Someone's really missed a trick.
There's so many apps that are missing from the store.
I have a small collection of original comic book art. So on my server, I've got full size scans of the art in my collection. And the other day, I was just taking this piece of John Byrne Fantastic Four art. It's just all black lines, no color, and just coloring it in and doing shading. And it's, oh, having so much fun, even though I'm basically doing like a really expensive version of a coloring book. Between the artwork and the iPad, it's like the most expensive coloring book and pack of crayons I've ever used in my life. But having such a ball
and
with
you
it.
And to that note, there's for my engraving, oftentimes people ask me, you know, can I put, you know, some cartoon characters on their kids like water bottle? I'm like, yeah, sure. So what we end up doing is going to Google to find a vector. And a lot of these vectors don't exist. But however, if you tape any animated character or cartoon character and you put coloring pages next to it into Google, you'll get a nice thick black and white drawing of hundreds of different, you know, figures that you can basically save, you know, to the folder and then open it up in Procreate and fill it in. So just look for anything you want to / coloring pages and you'll find it.
Oh, right. Okay. That's a good tip. Bronwyn has found the application. It's called Paint by Numbers Pro HD.
Of course.
Of course. It doesn't say whether it's pencil specific or not. And be warned, there is multiple purchases in app, but it's only $5 for the rest of it. So.
One area that I'm using it a lot for is, obviously, we'll talk about apps in a bit, but with handwriting, I found that I was always going to use it for work. You know, part of my job is I do a lot of diagrams of, servers and this and the other. But I can quickly do that stuff now and just email it to people without having to go into Visio and try and wrestle with that, you know, for half an hour. But also, I've started to do to-do lists on it as well, so I'm a big kind of to-do-ist fan, and I use reminders a bit as well, but I've just gone to using notes and just writing my to-do list by hand now for the day, you know, not obviously stuff I want to be reminded of, but if I just want to do a running total of what I need to do today, I've just been writing it out with a pencil. Mm.
Yeah, I used notes in a meeting the other day and just folded the iPad out and then actually physically sat and wrote.
Fantastic.
And it's great to do that because it's so accurate as well. It looks like you're writing on a piece of paper.
You can write amazingly small as well. I mean, you compare, if I compare my writing on the iPad compared to what I write on a piece of paper, you can't really tell the difference.
Yeah.
Because you can get that small with that. It's great.
I mean, I tweeted out the other day that, you know, one of the things I'm looking for is a job card application that'll sit on my Mac so I can just list number of days and that kind of stuff that I've done on projects, and it'll sync across all my devices. But the note-taking stuff is another one that's really... I mean, has anyone come across, like, really good note-taking apps for the iPad Pro now that you've got this functionality, or a writing-to-text application of some description?
I'm just using Notes, Notes.app. I used to use Evernote. I haven't used Evernote since the iPad Pro changes. I assume it's been updated, but I just got... I won't go into why I'm not using Evernote, but I know that and Notability are probably two that are worth a look if you haven't.
Yeah, I've been using Evernote.
Evernote user and I had to stop.
Sorry, go ahead. I didn't hear you. Sorry.
No, I was saying I was a huge Evernote user and I had to stop because there's this fear that there will be no Evernote pretty soon, and I'm like, I've been throwing everything into that thing for going on 10 years, and now it's time to pull them all out slowly. And Patrice, come back.
You have an incoming call from Patrice Brentamore.
On demand, I might say.
On demand. Joseph in the chat room thinks he's found a pencil at Blue Water. I'm guessing he's going out now. Andy, you were about to talk.
No, I was just going to say, I actually switched from Notes to Evernote a while back for kind of the exact same reason. A few years ago, I got on this habit of if there's an Apple exclusive app, I don't want to standardize on it anymore. As a matter of fact, just recently I decided to stop using Keychain for passwords and secure notes and switch to 1Password, just commit fully to it, because I had a situation where I was switching to a new machine and now all my passwords are on this file that only Macs can read. And so I decided that, okay, that can go away too. But yeah, Evernote's been working great for me. I don't think that we've got this, I don't think we've got a really great iPad optimized Notes app yet. Notes is close enough because it's one of those. It's not just Apple trying to make a good, useful app for consumers, but it's also there to help sell pencils and help sell iPad Pros and help explain to developers here's what a great iPad Pro and pencil enabled app should look like. But I'm really looking forward to the ones where it's doing OCR behind the scenes automatically without translating any of my notes into actual formatted text, But now if I do a spotlight search for something that I wrote in a handwritten note while at a briefing or something, it will surface that image of those pen strokes. And I can just find it that way. I just want to see something. I want to see all the awesomeness of the Newton message pad. And I know we're talking about a pie chart of things with the Newton, but a good chunk of that was like awesomeness. And I'm hoping that Apple can bring some of that awesomeness to the iPad and the iPad Pro.
Yeah, Notes is not kind at the level of iCal Contact Mail, is it? It does feel like it's a better application. It does do the job very, very well. But I mean, Notes has been improving a lot over the last two iterations, hasn't it? Since Yosemite. Anyone got any others that they come across? Got no video off you, by the way, Patrice.
Oh, so okay. Are we talking Notes app, or are we talking generally?
Well, I mean, here's an open question then. I mean, what have you come across in the last couple of weeks since having it that's kind of like, oh yes, absolutely, that is the app for this pattern? You can have more than one, you know. But
it's Procreate for me. And to be honest, the Standard Notes and Procreate are the two that I'm using. Procreate is something I've not used before, and I've only started really using it yesterday, but it's very intuitive. I've got Adobe Sketch as well, which I haven't found so intuitive, but that seems like it's been updated for iPad 2, iPad Pro 2. So, Procreate for me, really.
Procreate, for me, really, really does well because of the layers. You've got that, you know, almost, you can do 72 layers at retina resolution if you really want to with your drawings, which is fantastic. So you can have a pencil layer that you keep on the top, and then you can do a block color layer, and then a detail color layer, and that kind of stuff. And
change, I keep forgetting the opacities to use it, though. On each. One thing I did yesterday when I was messing around with Procreate was just drawing a basic kind of black outline of something. And then my daughter, she's only four, and she was using it to color it in, you know, like a coloring book. It's just brilliant. You know, it just worked really well. And, you know, it's a pencil. She knows what it does. You know, she's even able to change the colors and rub stuff out and everything. So, yeah, it's been good for us at home.
There's a question in the chat. Is there an app that converts handwriting to text?
I haven't come across one. I have looked.
Me neither.
There was, and it was a note-taking app that I used to use all the time. And I want to go ahead and call it Notesy. I think that's correct. With Notesy, you can write and it converts it to text. There were several when the iPad itself first came out. But if I remember correctly, Notesy was one of the ones that was designed to hook well with the Jot professional styli. And also PenUltimate does it to some extent, but not the way I believe Notesy was, if that's correct. I think that's correct.
There's a program called Notesy for Dropbox. Notesy. Simple Note.
No, that's Simple Note is a syncing thing. That would.
Yeah, no. Andy, you've not come across anything. I mean, I've got to say, I would have thought, as a journalist, you'd have wanted to go and look for that kind of stuff straight away.
I was looking around for it. I haven't found one yet that really works well for me.
Notes Plus, that's the answer. Sorry.
Okay, I'll check that one out. One of the problems is that although the Apple App Store is probably has the best search of any app store that I have to use, it's still really just hard to do a really good fine-grained directed search. It's great if Apple. You really only get to see these really great apps if Apple has highlighted it as an editor's choice or put it in a special section. But if you're really looking for Notes app, iPad, handwriting recognition, it's hard to really drill down onto what you want. But I'm surprised that there's so many apps that have nothing to do with the pencil that I've really invested in here. I couldn't be happy. This is the first time I've been on the show since the iPad Pro came out. So this is one of the best things. I have two of them here. I've got Apple's Loaner, but 2 days before that, I drove out and I actually bought one for myself because I've been an iPad user for so long. I knew that this is, I have used all of these apps. I've used this sort of device. I've just always wished that it were larger. So I knew that would be a good use of my money. And I can't think of another Apple product that I've been more happy with.
Yeah.
And, hey, Ewan, it's funny that I forgot about this one because it's been so long since it's been out. But one of the original note-taking apps for the iOS platform in general was called WritePad Pro. And WritePad was also one of the very first to come out with handwriting recognition, and that was out before there were even stylus. So that's another one. It's from Fatware Corporation. It's been around for a really, really long time. So those are the two that I can think of, was Notes Plus and Write Pad Pro, and I have both of them from way back in the Jot days. But Lee, I was going to tell you, if you're getting into drawing apps and you want to just try some really, really good drawing apps, the people who probably did the most thinking behind the apps other than Apple themselves, and I'm going to have to tip my hat to Adobe. Now, I'm a dyed-in-the-wool Creative Cloud guy, but Illustrator Draw is, like, legit. It's, like, one of the only vector-based apps that are truly vector-based on the iPad in itself.
I was quite surprised at how few there are out there.
When you're competing against Illustrator, why bother? In the real space, let's screw the iPad. Let's put the iPad away for a second and just go into the Mac App Store. You have Illustrator and you have Inkscape, and you have about three other players that think that one day they're going to grow up to be big as Illustrator. Saint Happening. My favorite Catholic saint is Saint Happening, because Illustrator is just, it's a monster. You know, like, it is an absolute monster. It's Lionel Messi in the app world. So you can't, why bother? Go do something else.
So we're talking Adobe.
Have you tried iDraw or whatever iDraw is now called, now that it's, I'm looking it up.
Yeah,
whatever iDraw is called now that it's been bought by Autodesk.
Yeah, no, I typed in iDraw and I couldn't find anything for it because that surprised me. Is that the Sketch one, Autodesk Sketch?
I've turned off one of my favorite apps for iPad Pro, which is Duet Display, just so I can actually use it like an iPad again. Graphic. It's called Graphic now. And it's vector-based drawing. It's always been one of my favorite art apps because it takes art back to what I loved about the original Mac Draw, where you can just sort of describe what you want. It does a really good job with freehand curves. And the fact that it's such a beautiful translation between iOS and macOS editions of the same app. And I've been using that on iPad Pro and really, really liking it.
Wow. I'll give that a go.
That's cool.
So that's called Graphic. So I'm
Graphic, yeah. I will never remember that name. It's always going to be iDraw to me.
Yeah.
But yes, no, Graphic.
Yeah. One of
that's just a crazy name to name yourself in the middle of the iPad app searching world.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like naming an app.
Everyone's going to think that Appy, you know, they did the Appy spelling, which is GRPHX or something weird like that. Like, sometimes I find myself looking for an app and I try to do the Appy spelling, you know, the Web 2.0 thing that you want to punch people in the face for, and then it's spelled the normal way.
This afternoon has cost me a sodding fortune. We got Andrew from 12 South in the chat room, and hey. I was complaining about the tilting problem sitting in front of the TV watching it, and he's straight in with the park. From 12 South, oh, this will do it, and then the Park Slope, and then I'm straight on, oh, it's on Amazon Prime, so before I know it, I've bought it, and now I've just spent another £20 buying bloody apps that we're talking about.
I love the Compass Stand. I'm using the, God, I got to take off, thank you, I got to remove, take down my entire dual display setup. I've always had like a Compass display for my iPad full, the iPad Air, my iPad Mini. I'm really, really happy to find that it's in landscape mode. It works great for the iPad Pro. I mean, it's perfectly stable. I trust it, and I can tap it without it falling out. And I don't know, people who haven't seen this before, it's just beautiful. It's all solid metal. You really feel as though, like in a Hitchcock movie, this could be used as a murder weapon. You could definitely do that. Sorry, I'm an American, but third thought about any static object is, could this be used as a murder weapon? I would love it if they were to create a new version of this for the iPad Pro that's a little bit taller, just to make it a little bit more stable. But there's so much rubberized content on this, and the legs go out so far that I've been traveling with this daily with it, and it's almost like it's almost as important to me as the pencil.
Yeah,
I was going to tell Andrew, if he's having a hard time holding his iPad, I know there's a great company that makes stands and things that you can probably check out. It's called 12 Saw.
That's 12 Saw to make some fantastic stuff, I have to say, and I've always
beautiful, beautiful stuff. It's like, imagine take Apple design, and then just take the go into settings on Apple design,
make it useful.
And the slider that where it says on one hand make it really, really beautiful, but totally impractical. And the other one where it says it's totally practical, but kind of ugly. And Apple's is like really close to that really beautiful, but impractical. Take that slider, move it closer, like almost 50% between beautiful and practical. And that's 12 South Design. Really yes. love their stuff.
Yeah. All we need is a beer holder or a whiskey glass holder for the Helvet bar. And then we'll be square. Andrew.
Deep Pan saying, is there free 12 South merchandise for everyone? Well, that's what we nice. That's what we were aiming at. I don't know.
Let's find out.
Andrew. Well, Deep Pan, you got to start by spelling out 12, and then we might get there.
Andrew says he's blushing, but actually we're shaking him down.
Put it this way, Andrew. I'm going to continue to use this iPad Pro with the compass stand, and... If in the next half hour we do see a UPS shipping tracker in my inbox, maybe I won't accidentally like tap the wrong ways and have it spill off the desk and onto the floor here in front of millions and millions of viewers. joking. I already not only do I own this, but I've actually this wasn't even like a review sample that was sent to me like a year or two ago. I actually just liked it and bought it.
See, the difference is, though, Andy, that you're a serious journalist who's incorruptible, whereas the rest of us will take whatever we can
yes.
for a good review.
My strength is as the strength of 10 men, for my soul is pure.
Beachy says 12 South is very good, but overpriced, and he's right next to Andy in the chat room.
Fight.
Yeah. Well, that's a good answer, because today everything's half off on the Black Friday Amazon thing. So there's that. And they got 1 hour delivery, depending on where you live.
Yeah, but I've paid full price for mine, though.
Yeah.
They appreciate that.
I always say, Beachy, don't get mad. This is no diss against you. I always kind of laugh when people say XYZ is expensive, XYZ is not expensive. Because what happens is, I don't like that word anymore, because people love to call things expensive that aren't necessarily so. What it is that the company's value proposition doesn't match what yours is. That's all there is to it. Because every market should charge for what they bear. And we had that big fight back when the Apple Watch came out, and all of you guys told me I was a tool because I didn't think there was anything wrong with the $20,000
Well, now you mention somebody would. Hang on. Now you mention it, tool. One of the stories that we got today was that it's Black Friday, of course, and there's some Black Friday deals out there, and there's $100 off the watch at Target and Best Buy today. But the one that takes it takes the absolute biscuit is the French Colette boutique is selling 18-karat gold and steel watches at 50% off. So you can get a 42mm stainless steel case with sports band for $308.87, which is not quite...
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. That's less than half price, I think.
Yeah.
No, it's not. But that's not quite. But what's the other one that they've got? 42mm stainless steel with link bracelet, $507 instead of $999. So I think there's a lot of people aren't buying the watch, perhaps. You know, they've kind of bought the market. The people that were going to buy it have bought it, and now it's dribbling sales. So I think there's a few people that have got stock that they need to lose.
Someone is accepting the loss for the marketing value they get. I mean, everybody's talking about it now, so maybe that's working.
I think Fitbit's got Fitbit have got them in some corners of the market, I think, because certainly my family... the ones that are more active than me, let's put it that way. They're all on Fitbit. You know, the ones with the heart rate, I can't remember which one it's called, the one with like a watch and a heart rate built into it. I'm on the Apple Watch, you know, just because I'm so connected to the ecosystem, you know, like you guys. But my family, who may have iOS devices, may have Android devices, they're all Fitbit. And sing the praises of them, which I like them too. I like the Fitbit too, but the watch just knocked it over the edge for me in terms of messaging and all that kind of stuff.
Well, one of the things that no one probably mentioned is what happens with these stores. They probably did loss leaders. And when you have high margin items like they sell, they probably put like two or three of the whole inventory in and then call it sold out. Because first of all, you look at the list on Mac Rumors, a lot of them are sold out. But car dealers do this all the time. You can buy one Lexus at half off on Black Friday, but there's one. And it's never on the lot when you go in, and it's really hard to actually find said unicorn. But the other thing that I think we did such a good job of pumping the Apple Watch when it first came out, and then now there's all these people already speaking of what's happening to the second one. So if you want to ruin the sales of the Apple Watch for Christmas, let all the guys on 9to5 Mac and Mac Rumors and the other sites like Sud start talking about the new one that's coming out in quote unquote April, May. And then so, of course, it doesn't make any sense. Nobody wants to buy one right now.
Muller is in the chat room and he's been out shopping this morning. I do know that. And he said this morning he's been to the Apple store at Solihull and at Birmingham. Rest of the store is very busy. No one looking at any watches. Quite interesting. Yeah. Did someone say bedside watch stand? Andrew's getting salivating and getting ready to pump us. And also Beach, he said, I know what I've just said about pricey, but I've still bought loads of their stuff. I think it's overpriced. How much do I need to pay, you know?
But sometimes you do have to appreciate it. It's hard to buy these things sight and seen. If you actually held a compass, for instance, in your hand, you would realize, oh, that's why this costs $40, because it's not cheap. It's not lightweight materials. They didn't cheap out on anything. The hinges on on all these flip-out parts are beautifully made. I've been using this daily with all my devices for a couple of years, and it still works as well as it did on day one. That's the thing that terrifies you when you buy things online and you realize that you have to think, okay, is this $40 because it actually costs a lot of money to manufacture? Or is this $40 because somebody took like a weekend course in marketing and decided that if we charge a lot of money for it, people will think it's deluxe? Sometimes you do get what you pay for.
I think I had a pop because Paul Theroux came out with a bit of a cheap comment about the iPhone 6. And I was like, you know, he said the breakdown costs are $149 for it, so therefore they shouldn't be charged as much as they are. I'm like, yeah, because it designed itself, it shipped itself.
Those Picassos, I can go to the hardware store, get canvas and paint for must be $3. That's got cost of manufacturers bananas.
Yeah, exactly.
This should be free. It should be an in-app purchase.
Design got nothing. Got nothing. 38mm, 18-carat rose gold case with white sport band, originally $10,000, now $4,860. That's 50%, less than 50%.
The gold one is a dog. It is such a dog. Not only that, but I really am convinced that I would never make fun of anybody for buying whatever they want because they like it and they got the money for it. I do think that there's a certain vibe out there that says, I want the gold watch, but I don't want to be seen as somebody who bought the gold. I would much rather buy the gold tone version of it, of the sport, rather than be seen as somebody who spent $10,000 on the exact same watch everybody else has, but it's of a special sparkly metal.
I got to say, I find the rose gold, and I mean, I've got a gold iPad Pro, and I quite like the finish on that. It's not bad, although it does scratch like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah.
And I remember Andy talking about the iPad the iPad when it first came out and saying the screen looks like, you know, after about half an hour using the screen, it looks like you've just given birth to it. And that's your quote. And my iPad Pro always looks like that. But the rose gold, I've looked at that, and it looks so 80s. I just can't, as a finish, it's more flash dance than anything else. You know, it's disgusting. I can't do it.
Well, the rose gold is pretty cool. I wish they decided to actually go all in and say it's metallic pink. Metallic pink is cool. I'm wearing this shirt is sold as like a salmon colored shirt. I bought it because it's a very festive pink. That's why I bought it. And so I do know somebody who wanted to buy who bought the gold. God, was it the iPad Pro? Okay, might not have been the Pro, but. At least the Air, and I got me thinking about that. That's a lot of color for something as big as the iPad Pro. I think there's a reason why that they were very very selective in how in the colors they use for these things, because I got the space gray, and without thinking I made the right choice because I forgot that Apple matches the color of the bezel to the color of the metal in the back. And if I'd bought the silver one, it would have a white front, and it kind of freaks me out, the idea of looking at the screen and seeing this big white frame around it.
Nice, you know, I
like it.
I ignore the white frame. I don't know if there is a difference. I think it's one of those perceived differences. And actually, when you've used it for 10 minutes, you kind of forget it. It's like, if I'm not thinking about it, it doesn't affect me. And Andrew in the chat room has just said, you know, space gray is the only way to go. Why? Because I want the black coloured bezel. And I've got black coloured bezel iPads, and I've got the white ones. And I've actually got here, which is quite impressive, an invisible iPad. There's my invisible iPad. Thanks to Ian Lewis, who took a picture of a leaf, which is green, of course, and it's coming out. But I've actually got the picture of the green on the front.
Predator iPad. I said, talking of Predator, I just noticed on the iTunes store it's £1.99. I don't know what that is in dollars, but they've got Alien, Aliens, Predator, all of them.
I didn't want to do Black Friday akimbo, but
I just bought three, after all discussion about this, I just bought three more compasses off the 12 South site, and at $20, that's nothing. I know I'm going to want it. I can now live the dream of having one of these in every one of my bags. And what a stocking filler.
Well, it'd be kind of nice, you know, you pick it up from the bedroom, you just walk right into the living room and sit it down without having to keep moving this compass.
Yeah.
Or is it compai when you buy
more than one? But it's cool. It's like, I feel like Scaramanga in the Man with the Golden Gun every time I deploy this. or like Tot in Raiders of the Lost Ark, where you see him, you see the bad guy like take out this evil looking like torture device, and then there's a dramatic sting, and then he simply unfolds it into an iPad stand and puts it on the desk in front of the person he's interrogating.
Every time you deploy, do you not get the attention, attract the attention of Homeland Security or something? Is it?
I was concerned the first time I flew with it, because at that point I had paid full price for it, and like this, if I protest and they say, well, look, it's a big heavy metal blunt force trauma sort of crack someone's skull with an object, I could say, I could only say, I'm just going to ask you to trust me that I don't intend to drive this through the skull of anybody on this flight.
It's not that big, is it?
It's not big.
You could club a small toe. No, it is fairly big.
All I'm saying is that you fold it up like this.
It does have stabby potential, doesn't it?
It has stabby. Well, you probably want to take the rubber tip off of it. But it is like really solid. Actually, also, I don't know. I feel like I can walk through the streets of Boston in safety, but if I suddenly realize that there's somebody following me and we're heading towards someplace dark, I don't know. I might like try to slip this out of my bag, because if you swung this into someone's head, they would know that they would be pleased that they had been struck in the head by a quality made machined metal object.
So here you go, new marketing idea for 12 South, Andrew. All you've got to do is get
the 12 South cudgel
CSI Miami to find out that the compass is the murder weapon on one of their episodes. You'll sell millions.
For the new Columbo.
There's no such thing as bad publicity. The new Columbo.
Not intended use.
Well, let me think about this here. I've just had a look on the... I was looking at iPad. I was listening, honest. But I saw one of the things on the news stories was about the Intrepid Bag Company have got a sale on for their bags. And it's $400 for the bag that I was looking at. So I'm with Beachy. Too expensive by far. Yeah. Jeez.
Well, especially something like a bag... where I don't, I still carry the same like $40 bag I've been carrying for 4 or 5 or 6 years, but I won't spend that much money on a bag because I really want to beat the hell out of it. And also the one time it gets lost, the one time something happens to it, I've envied some really, really nice pens that I have not bought for exactly that reason, that it would just make me feel, I don't feel as though I'm capable of losing a phone because I'm that careful with it, but I'm definitely capable of losing a pen, and it will make no difference to me that this is something I spent $200 for or something that I picked up for free in a hotel room. I am capable of leaving pens behind and losing them.
I'm going to give you a tip, a vault tip for pens. It'll blow your mind. Okay, everyone knows that one of the best pens out there is a Fisher Space Pen.
Yep.
Writes upside down, writes in water, writes on oily paper, whatever. However, the official Fisher Space Pen that are really good ones, they range between 100 and 250, depending on how you accoutrement them. If you go to any trade show and they give you the standard issue, I'm looking for one right now because they're all, here we go. They always exist. This is a standard issue trade show pen. If you open up a business anywhere in the U.S., within about a week, companies will send you tons of these saying that they'll put your name on it. Anyway, all of the inserts of these pens use something known as a universal ballpoint cartridge. There is a Fisher Space Pen replacement universal ballpoint cartridge on the Amazon for about $3.49. And all it is the insert for the Fisher Space Pen. So you put that insert in any random issue free pen you pick up from the doctor's office or wherever and replace it with the Fisher Space Pen guts, and you have a $5 Fisher Space Pen that will run circles around anything else you own, and you don't care if you lose it because you can buy like two of those little things in the pack.
Okay, but you'd lose the insert as well, though.
Okay, so look, so these are Mont Blanc inserts, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I have a Mont Blanc, and again, these two right here cost like $6, but instead of sticking them in the Mont Blanc, I stick them in other pens that they fit. And then that way you get the experience writing, but you don't have to worry about losing your $500 Mont Blanc.
Good thinking. Okay. The other one I've got is I've got a nice leather bag. Here we go. This is the one that I use for commuting up and down to London. It takes the iPad, bro. It's getting old now. It's about 6 or 7 years old. It is. It's lovely. The leather is about 5 mil thick. It is a beautifully made bag. £50. It's a John Shooter game bag. So you're actually supposed to shoot pheasant and stick them in there. But because it's a game bag and not a computer bag, I'm not getting ripped off.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I've been looking for stuff like that. I've been on eBay looking for like vintage like leather document folios. I need to find something that is perfect for the iPad Pro, because I don't want just like a 13 inch thin laptop bag and have this just rattling around in it like it's just lost 80 pounds in a crash diet. None of its clothes fit anymore. The only thing I've found so far that really really works is a equipment wrap. These, you ever seen, it's like a 16-inch square piece of padded cloth with Velcro tabs on it. So you can basically make an envelope that will stretch to form fit pretty much anything, no matter how irregularly shaped it is. And so far, it's the only thing that I've encountered that will give me that sort of really, really close fit. But I'm sure there must be somewhere I can buy for $9, like a Sperry Rand 1963 issued to all like new hires, leather zip-up document folio that's going to be perfect for this.
I'm not kidding you. Doc's put a link in the chat room there to johnshooter.com. Go and have a look at that. And if you want
johnshooter.com,
it's on the chat room. John Shooter, as in person with a gun, .com. And there's a load of stuff there. If there's anything on there that you fancy, I'll gladly ship it out to you, mate. No worries.
Vic Shaw will create something pretty soon for the iPad Pro.
eBay's pretty good for John Shooter stuff as well. I don't see my bag on there, but
the closest to it, Ewan's on the very bottom in the middle.
There's one on the front page which is close to it, but that's £95. So,
yeah, this one is 90. But yeah, this is pretty cool. Like I always been looking for this kind of oiled leather or oiled canvas bag because I want to engrave it.
Yeah, I'll be right back. I'm going to grab something here.
It's called a credit card.
Yeah, he's going to grab the mobile phone to ring the bank to check he's got enough funds to deal with another Black Friday on the Mac show. It's not been a good day. Andy's coming back in a minute. One last story then. Suspicions are saying that the iPhone is suspected to have OLED screens starting in 2018, and I read that story and thought, oh, that's interesting. And then I read on a bit more, and I got about 10 rows in, and I thought, I'm not sure whether I'm bothered about that or not. Is it gonna make any real difference?
I saw that, and my immediate thinking was, who the cares? Because yeah, might happen, might not. Who cares?
Yeah.
It's a couple of years.
Sorry, Andy, you were just away there. I'm just saying I found a story that said that OLED screens might be in the iPhone by 2018, and I started reading it, and I lost the will to live after 10 minutes, and just thought, I don't care. And is that a story? I don't think so. Nope.
And any headline that has the word Apple and might, we're done. Save yourself some time.
Yes.
The other one that's quite interesting is Apple's acquired, formally now, the real-time motion capture firm, FaceShift. So you could see a little bit of FaceTime camera action for real-time animation of your FaceTime image there, doing a Logitech, effectively, no?
Hmm.
I would see them doing something more like the sign-in features that Windows 10 has on certain hardware. The ability to do really, really good face ID, so good that it would be good enough to serve as your login. I could also see them doing something a little bit more subtle. If you think about it, not so much as a way of doing, you know, I don't see Apple as putting a lot of their time into how do we make people on FaceTime be able to look like they're vomiting a rainbow. We need to get ahead of this technology. I think it'd be more like I've the ability to identify a face and see where it's looking could be a really, really big deal. Like imagine a Kinect camera on an Apple TV or something like that, where it knows that your attention is over here and not over there. We may never hear about what it does, but with a company like Apple, they can do anything, can't they?
Well, true. Yeah, I mean, it's unlimited resources, effectively, in real terms. So yeah. I think that's probably a better shout than the moronic suggestion I've just made.
No. That's they could do that too. They had remember that it was a few years ago, but what was that feature in FaceTime where you could like be in front of a roller coaster and you can do all these other cool things. That was before Johnny Ive like made to like total ascendancy. So he might just say no, that's tacky. No,
wasn't that photo booth?
No, it was a photo booth, but it was an iChat back in the day. And then when iChat converted to FaceTime, that was one of the casualties, was to take a background and then slide back in and like, look, I'm in a goldfish tank. Like, yeah, Johnny was like, no, let's just make it work regularly first. And we can put all that cute crap back in after.
Yeah. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2. They're absolutely fantastic. They have got some Black Friday deals, you'd be surprised to hear. And they're going right the way through to Cyber Monday. So anything that you want from UK2, we've got some offer codes with them. But this weekend, we cannot beat anything that you'll find on their site, because you're going to get wonderful, wonderful deals over there. If you want a domain name, co-location services, VPS, VPN, dedicated servers, UK2 is the place to go. Make sure you go to britishtechnetwork.com/UK2 if you just want to sign into your account or buy from them, and then they'll know that we sent you and we get the kudos for that. That's all. Even if you just sign into your account, we'll still get the kudos for it. It's just got a link on that. And if you go to britishtechnetwork.com/sponsors, you can see the offer codes if you're after Monday and look at all of those. The other thing to say is there's some really cool stuff happening with Clean My Mac 3. And next week, you need to listen, because we will have some fantastic information for you. And let me just say, it would be well worth you tuning in, if you know what I mean. You know what I mean, right?
Mm-hmm. Ewan's going to be topless.
No, Jesus. Those people won't get that out of their head now until after Christmas, mate. Jesus. Right. Have we got a cool thing? I'll allow you two today, because you can do a must-have iPad app that's out there at the moment, iPad Pro app, and then you can have a cool thing that's just like your normal cool thing. So start us off, Patrice.
Yeah, my cool thing, I don't have an iPad app. I don't have an iPad Pro, so didn't know what to pick. But my cool thing is the new desktop app for WordPress.com. I'm usually not a big fan of WordPress or WordPress apps, but this one is actually pretty cool. Was released, I think, earlier this week, Monday or something. It connects to WordPress.com, and it also allows you to manage your self-hosted WordPress sites if you are using the Jetpack plugin, which I do for most of the few sites I still use. And it's pretty cool. It's fast. It allows you to do, I would say the most common tasks, creating blog posts, pages, changing a few settings and so on. And it's like a command center for all your WordPress sites. So it's really cool and it's free. So go get it if you have a WordPress site.
All right, that sounds it's free, I guess, because it's WordPress and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, but you must have the Jetpack plugin, otherwise you can't administer your own site.
Yeah, or your blog is a WordPress.com blog, then it's easy.
Right, okie doke, cool. I don't download that because if I get a hold of that, I'll screw some up on our site and Wheaties will kill me. So. Good, cool thing. Well done, mate. Have you got an iPad Pro app that you think you should have, or do you want to come back for that?
I don't have an iPad Pro.
All right. Idea. Andy, your cool thing, please, sir.
My iPad thing, I'm sure that we talked about Procreate, but it's, of course, it's doubly cool if you happen to have an Apple Pencil, and not everyone will have an Apple Pencil. So I'm going to go with Duet Display. Which I've been using just nonstop. When I'm here at my desk with my iPad Pro, it is a second display app, but it works perfectly. There's nothing weird or special about it. This just simply becomes a 12.9-inch Retina-grade external monitor attached to your Mac. And it can work via Wi-Fi, but it's a little bit laggy. If you've got it connected via USB with the Lightning port, it is so fast that you just won't even think that this is anything other than an HDMI second monitor or something like that. I haven't tried it with video or gaming yet. I probably should. But that's not why I use an external monitor here. It really is for something like what you just saw there. Like I'm doing something that my main screen here in the MacBook is taking my full attention, but I also want to keep an eye on Twitter, or maybe I want to keep an eye on my inbox or something like that. If there's other things like this is very podcast specific, but if I've got ad breaks, I know that I'm going to be asked for like a recommendation for audible.com, or if I'm going to be talking about an app later on, I'll keep that window like right over there. It's dirt cheap. I think something like it's less than $10. I don't have the price in front of me, but oh my God, it just works so well. It's one of the many reasons why there's no one specific thing that said, this is why it's worth $1,000 to me to have a 128 gig iPad Pro. It's little things that like, okay, that just got $231 worth of the value back for me with just this one thing. And my cool thing, we're talking about repurposing bags. And this is my, when I'm not carrying my my full-sized iPad, when I'm carrying my iPad Air or my iPad Mini, this is like my little purse that I acquired for this year. This is a World War II vintage Swedish Army gas mask bag. It looks really, I just think it looks really, really cool. It's the perfect size for it'll hold like an iPad and a compact Bluetooth keyboard. It's, of course, it doesn't have dividers and accoutrement that you get from a tech bag. So it's just like a bucket here. But it does have an external pouch that I use for a little plastic container that has my headphones and cables and stuff like this. Takes up absolutely no space on your hip. Adjustable web bag. And it looks distractingly cool. It's like, I know that there's no end of really good $12 like nylon bags you can buy. And they're all great. They're cheaply made. They're well made for $10 or $20 bags, but those are everywhere. You go to like the drugstore and they have laptop bags that look like that. So for $20 or $30 or $40, it's worth it for me to have something that kind of looks weird. It makes me feel good when I load it up at the beginning of the day.
Have you got a link?
Oh, I was about to say, there's not like one seller for this, but if you go on eBay and search for Swedish Army gas mask bag, you will find these in two different colors. At some point, the Swedish Army decided that they're no longer going to be attacked with gas. And so apparently they just had like billions of these in storage. And all these companies that do nothing but buy up surplus stuff, it entered that channel. So they're not hard to find. They can be found at a range of prices.
They've actually got a shopping tab. If you type in Swedish Army gas mask bag, it has a shopping tab in Google. It's that there's that many of them.
Yeah. So if you see one for $70 or $80, wait, you'll find someone who has it for $20 or $30 US dollars. That's what I did. I started looking at gas mask bags when I discovered through Adam Savage on MythBusters. that the satchel that Indiana Jones wears is specifically a U.S. Army gas mask bag. And I always thought, well, I don't want to like cosplay as Indiana Jones when I go out, but that's an, I wonder how much like a gas, that's an interesting size, interesting shape, useful for what I would do. And that started looking at this category of gas mask bags. If you look, just look for gas mask bags, you'll find lots of interesting options on
there. Now, I'm presuming you're not getting an iPad Pro in that.
You know what? Let's not speak too hastily. I haven't actually tried. For all I know, this is the perfect size for that. So I have Apple's loner with the keyboard case. There, let's just see how well this works.
Here we go.
And
live on air.
I'll be darned. You can actually get like the first. There you go. Like a glove. Just a lot
sticks out the top.
So long as you're willing to walk down the street like this, holding it, I think you got a winner here.
Yeah, okay, mate.
That's as far as you're going.
Yeah, which when it hits the leather bit, isn't it? Because the leather bit's just doesn't give.
Not a whole lot of play there.
Yeah, right. There's a link in the chat room actually for those, and there's an eBay shop that sells them, which is pretty impressive.
They're pretty good. The only caveat I'll give is that when it arrives, turn it inside out, hang it outside in the back porch, let the sunlight get at it. Mine definitely smelled like victory when it arrived. That smell went away after leaving it outside in the sun for a few hours. But like I said, don't say, oh, thank God, here's my bag. I can finally, right before my big date.
Oh, World War, oh. Now I've got, oh, he's gone. Oh, no, he's back. No, there's a link there. It says World War II bags. I've clicked on that. I'm down a bloody rat hole already. Jesus. Today could be very expensive. I've got a bag Still fetish. I've got a really bad bag fetish, which doesn't need feeding. Thanks, Andy.
We need a bag show on BTN.
Oh, the bag show.
We'll talk about the copious amounts of nutsack.
Right, dude. Doc, what have you got?
All right, so my first one is, this is the time of year where everyone says, okay, this year, this is going to be the year where I'm going to go in and I'm going to study how to do this computer and type stuff until I'm as good as Andy Inako. And I'm going to grow the chaps. Well, I started and that kid just sweeped around my chin. But my first pick is Skillshare. Skillshare is really dope. It's kind of like a combination of your Dom McAllister screencast online meets lynda.com, but they have all types of stuff, not just the nerd oriented things. They have tons and tons and tons of classes. It's super cheap. It's a lot of classes are free if you want to just go in and see how they do it, but they allow anybody to share. Even this dude, like I think that dude's name is Lee Peterson. I call him LJ Punk, even though it's supposed to be LJP UK. He can go and do a class on like how to do proper chords on the guitar and then post it up, and then you can subscribe to it. You can learn from him, but then he can make a little cake on the side. So I think of all the learning platforms out there, this definitely fits right in like under lynda.com or right around the Dom McAllister swag, but it's taught to you by random individuals. All the quality video is very good. They do these class projects, which you can learn a lot on. I can't say enough about Skillshare. If you think you want to muster your game up, check out Skillshare. I posted a link in the chat.
I've learned quite a few useful skills. They also do, I mean, there are random, I don't know, photography sessions where you do street photography and then have a task at the end where you go out and take a few pictures and post them in the comments or whatever and stuff like that. It's really great. So
highly recommend. There's some really cool classes on there.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I learned a great meatball making technique from one of the cooking ones. These guys, they run a meatball shop in Boston, and they showed like how to make like all these different meatballs, and it was pretty good. Hey, Lee, we have the same cup, I think. Is that it? The Disney cup?
I think I'm old school with my Stormtrooper, I think.
Oh, sorry. I got the Anaheim Ducks version of a Stormtrooper. Way to go. Anyway, my second pick is something known as iDevices Switch. Now, this is a HomeKit-enabled Switch, similar to the Wiimotes and that, but it's a little bit cheaper. You can buy it right in the Apple Store. And what's cool about this is you can just yell at Siri when you walk in the house, and it can do all types of cool things. What's really different about the Switch versus most of the other is it's HomeKit and Wi-Fi and Bluetooth, and these guys and iDevices went as far as to make their own Bluetooth chip, so they have one of the rare Bluetooth chips in Apple products that don't suck, because some Bluetooth can be such a pain in the butt. Like, you're fighting with it more than it actually works, like my speaker. But yeah, this thing is super, super cool, and it's nice to just yell at Siri and be like, hey, Siri, turn on the space heater, or hey, Siri, turn on the magic fingers vibrating hotel bed, like whatever. Like, it's just, you can yell at it and it'll do it.
Oh, Siri. Yes, Siri. Right there, Siri.
You'll be pleased to hear Joseph has located a pencil at Blue Water. He's reserved it to pick up later. Well done, mate. Congratulations. Bronwyn has done the worst possible thing to me, which is to put about 13 links in to cool bags. Not funny. Yes. Just not funny, all right? That's like waving an open bottle of Jack Daniels under an alcoholic's nose.
She's missing rickshaw bags.
How dare you? No, so rickshaw stays already been gone through. I've already clicked that. Jesus.
Always fun to make the rummy dance for quarters.
Andy, you have a link, by the way. I've DM'd you a link on Twitter.
I have clicked on it as you spoke. There you go. What's the link to the store that does nothing but World War II bags?
It's in eBay.
You said that was there like an actual store that?
No. It was okay. Because I looked at the Swedish gas mask bag, and it was just at the bottom. You sure you wouldn't like to look at more World War II bags? You're like, oh, yeah. So there you go. I bought one of those.
You bastard!
If you buy that and you want it delivered here, and I'll get it shipped over to you or something. If you really want one,
that is cool. Yeah, it's vented. It's double lined to the bottom. It's got vents.
Yeah, ooh,
it's actually got like different sections to it.
It's the Indiana Jones bag. And if you're sitting thinking, oh, that'd be great, but what's the link? Go to the chat room. If you go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat, Anders, one of our backroom boys, has set up a bot that sits in the chat room and it logs all of the conversations. Be careful what you type and don't click any of the links that Muller puts in there, whatever you do. You'll get all the links to all the stuff that we've been talking about during the show, all the stories, all of the cool things. All the iPad applications and that kind of thing. BritishTechNetwork.com/chat. There's no login or anything like that. Just click on the day when we recorded. Today was the 27th of February. It was the 27th of November.
What?
Boom! You can see all of the stuff that we talked about. There you go. No problem. Cool picks. Lee, what have you got for us, mate?
Okay, so I'll start with my iPad one. This is not necessarily just for the iPad Pro, but I've started to get into comic books again. So my pick is Marvel Unlimited membership. I know there's various apps, including comics or Comixology, as it used to be known, I think, which is another fantastic app. But I've just found with someone like myself that's only really read some old Batman stuff and Civil War, and I've not read for a while. So the subscription for me works well because there's a lot of back catalogue stuff in there, and it's really good for someone new coming in to, say, a character. So maybe you've watched one of the Marvel films and you're like, I don't know, say Ant-Man. You can go in and it shows you kind of like a progression of a good series to pick up. Because one thing that I found quite confusing, even though I've liked comic books for a while, is someone new to it especially, you don't know where to start. And I think that app gives a good... It's good for the user, basically, I think, if you're coming into it fairly fresh. So that's my membership. It's like $9.99 a month. So I definitely recommend that. And that works across obviously all iPads, but on the iPad Pro, comic books look fantastic. Even if they haven't necessarily been updated for the resolution yet, they still look great.
I saw a picture of you, Andy, reading the comic, like a comic book on it, and it did look.
Yeah. Awesome. The pages are bigger than a printed comic page. I have Marvel Unlimited. That's such a great pick because it's just like you say, $60 a year and you get all you can eat access to 10,000 comics, including ones that are fairly recent. Comixology is still under that business name. The great thing about Comixology, though, is that their comics are mastered at much higher resolution. So if you care to zoom in on a page, you are basically seeing it at original comic book art size. I mentioned earlier that it's not as though this any one thing has justified $1,000 for this device, but reading comic books, I buy comics every Wednesday on the Comixology app. That also has taken about $173 of the value of this thing. It's just amazing. It's the best way to read comics ever.
Good pick, Lee. Good pick.
Jessica Jones. My cool thing is the Apogee one. So if you can see this on the camera, but when you're trying to go iPad Pro, not so much I'm trying to go iPad Pro full time, but being, you know, I record my own music, and I've really enjoyed the iPad experience. I used the iPad Mini for ages, recording guitar mainly, but being kind of forcing myself not to use my MacBook Pro for a week, I discovered the Apogee One again, and basically it's an audio interface that you can plug your guitar in, mainly guitar, you can plug your bass and stuff in there too, obviously, to your iPad, but it's also got a condenser mic built in. So I can record acoustic guitar, I can record my mandolin, I can record audio, like from my voice, obviously, so I've been doing podcasting on it, and just using GarageBand, and it's fantastic. It's quite pricey, it's about £255, I think, on Amazon at the moment. It's about $300-something, but... I've tested quite a lot of these audio interfaces, and it's by far the best one that I've tried. You get all the leads you need, and it takes a beating as well. I've had mine for probably a year or so now, and it's really well made, really well constructed. And even if you're looking at, if you're looking generally audio stuff, especially with the iPad, Apogee is for me, gives you the best audio quality. And the good thing about this one as well, sorry, just before I finish, this one works on Mac as well, so you get the connections to go in, Lightning connections for your iPad or your iPhone, plus you get all the USB stuff as well, and you can plug it straight into your Mac, and you can either just plug a guitar lead into it, or you can use the condenser mic built in.
Right.
It's great. It's great.
And I take it you're using that to record the upcoming episode?
I am. I've recorded the guitar show just on this Apogee One. I'm just in the process of putting it together in GarageBand. So it'll sound a little bit different to the other ones in terms of some of the stuff I've been able to do with the audio, but the actual voice quality is just as good for me anyway as the mic I'm using now, the Blue Yeti I use normally.
Yeah, no, excellent. Good pick, mate. My cool thing is Procreate, most definitely. It's easily the best drawing app that I've come across. And I think I think with the drawing apps, it's one of those things that you kind of... I like doing watercolours, but I'm not really into like extremely wet brush or anything like that. So a lot of them don't give you the ability to do a lot damper or drier brush strokes, whereas Procreate does. There's a very good spread, and each of the brushes that you've got, you can individually tune that brush to how you want to paint with it. And there's an awful lot available there. I think it's about £6.99 in the store. It's not cheap, but it's worth every single penny. And like I said, if you pick the Retina resolution for the iPad, you can have 72 layers of colour information on that, which is just superb. And if you're not the greatest of drawers, then you can put something behind and copy it, or you could put in a black and white a cartoon, as Doc said earlier on, if you go into to Google, and you can sit and do some painting and colouring with it. You don't need a paint-by-numbers application that you can get from it. So there you go, Procreate, most definitely. And I've also now got Sky Go on here as well. I've taken it off my other app, so I sit and watching the sport when I'm editing and that type of stuff. It's all there.
Adventure Time.
Nice.
Oh, good man. Ellis loves Adventure Time. You're on mute, I think, Lee.
Hello, sorry. Yeah. Yeah, no, that was my effort just now. That was the crayon. I've not used a crayon before. It's just fantastic, that app.
It is.
I can't speak highly of it, enough of it. One thing just quickly, Ewan, there's a guy on YouTube that I found. I think it's called Art for Kids, but basically what he does is he draws with his son, like loads of comic book characters or TV characters. I put a BB-8 out on but yesterday, which I got from him, and Jake the dog as well, I got from that as well, and I'll put a link in the show notes now, in the chat, just before I forget, because he's a really good guy to follow if you want to get into drawing. Remember, yeah, his art for kids, so it's like, the categories are like age 3 to 5, and but, you know, whatever, I'm learning to draw, so I don't care.
Failing that, Bob Ross.
Or Bob Ross. If you want to, Fluffy Clouds and all that.
Excellent. Right, superb. Where can we get a hold of you, Patrice?
As always, every Friday on the Mac Show here on British Tech Network and on Twitter at @casual_kitchen, and all the links and stuff on thepatrice.com.
Beachy in the chat room, our resident tight arse, has put $6.99 is not cheap. That's two lattes.
That's even, when you think about it in terms of one burrito, that's even more expensive.
That's one burrito, $6.99 maybe, not £6.99. That's like $200, no?
That's a good thing.
Not quite.
Well, I live the lifestyle where I get the guac, and the guac is an extra $2.50.
Yes, right. Guac is always, you know what, and it irritates me, they keep, you know, can I get some guac? Okay, the guac is going to be $2.50. Guac's always extra. Stop telling me that. We know this. Move on.
Also, you want to make sure that they don't, like, look at you and then, like, you do it. I don't think you have. I think you were lucky to get the $7 just for the plain. But, sir, $2.50 is a lot of money for someone of clearly your means. That's the only thing that gets me.
That's the look you get when you ask for guac. Andy, you're dead solid.
We've got a thing in now. So if you have a carrier bag, a plastic carrier bag, when you go to the supermarket, you have to pay 5p for the bag, and the 5p goes to charity to stop people from using them. And you go in, and it says, "Have you got your own bag?" on the self-service tills. And you go, "Yes, put your bag on the scale so we can weigh it." Okay, there you go. And you get to the end, and it still asks you if you've taken a plastic bag. It's like plastic bags have become this micro-currency. Are you sure you're not stealing a plastic bag from us at 5p? I actually put my John Shooter bag on with, I bought a loaf of bread the other day, and I put my John Shooter bag on with my iPad Pro in it. And have you brought your own bag? Yes. And it's like, hang on. Your bag can't be 10 kilos. We're not having that. Andy, where are you, sir?
I am blogging a lot more actively now at anotgo.com, so you'll miss out if you don't get to see that. So spell my last name. That's the price of admission. But you can also check me out at on Twitter. I'm at anotgo on Twitter. That usually has links to whatever I'm writing and lots of stuff. I'm doing, as usual, my self-serving Black Friday, Cyber Monday weekend, tweeting good deals that I think are good. Most of them, there's nothing in it for me. Some of them, like, they're Amazon deals where, gee, if someone buys this pressure cooker and then they decide, oh, that's right, I meant to get 5 70-inch TVs for my friends, I do get, like, Amazon Associates credits for that referral. And usually at the end of the year when I get, like, my Black Friday money, it's like, oh, I guess I can have that really expensive, really cool camera lens now. So,
excellent.
Sorry about the clutter, but it will go away soon enough.
Yeah. Recycle it. Doc, where are you, sir?
IHNATKO. So simple. Anyway, I am in Hawaii because that's just where you go. No.
The only place to be.
You can find me on
in BTN. Hawaii. There is only...
Killing me. You can find me on BTN 2 times a week, one time at Unawful Godly Early where my brain just doesn't work as well. And you can find me on the Instawebs at DOCROCK pretty much every place.
Good man. And Lee, where are you, sir?
You can find me across BTN, especially the guitar show. I'm writing on my blog at waitingtodownload.net, and I'm on Twitter at LJPUK.
And we haven't had a review on the guitar show yet, so if you do follow the guitar show, and you should, because it's well worth watching, Lee does a Learn with Lee bit where you can learn a song or different sections from a song and that kind of stuff. And it's really, really cool. So give us a review, because that helps us position the iTunes and all that kind of stuff. Well done, mate.
Yes.
My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. I will be here again next week as normal. Big show on Thursday night, Mac show on Friday at usual times. If you want to follow us on the calendar, go to britishtechnetwork.com/live and you can watch us there. And also you can see the calendar at the bottom of the page and subscribe to it if you want to, and then you get a notification when we're on air. The other thing that we're doing at the moment is the Not Quite Live channel. So if you go to britishtechnetwork.com/live and you click on the play button on the live bit, even though we're not actually live, it'll be playing a random show from history on the BTN network, and there's some absolute corkers. I tweeted out this week that I got quite a swelling of pride this week at how good we've got over the years at writing really inappropriate show titles. we've managed to do some doozies. So go and have a look at that. There's also the British Tech Network or the British Tech Twitter handle. Every time the show changes, it sends out a tweet that says the next show that's being shown in a couple of minutes is this, and it's here. And if you don't want to get those, if they're starting to bug you, that's okay, I fully understand. Every single one of them has got the hashtag BTNNQL on it. So all you have to do is mute that hashtag and you won't get any of those. You'd have to mute the entire Twitter handle. We have thought of you, honest. See you next week. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening.